Whoa, God's so good, hey? You may be seated today. Thanks, musos. Awesome. We've taken up our tolerance. We've done all that. Well, you know what? It's great to have our guest speakers all the way from South Africa with us this morning. We have Calvin and Sharon Phillips with us from C3 Maritzburg. He's actually known as the Bishop of South Africa. He actually has just planted a few churches, 16 in total. He's been going for 20 years, C3 Maritzburg, doing an amazing job. I've loved getting to know Calvin over the last few years. And he also, on top of the 16 churches, he's got two campuses. And Justin is seriously just an incredible man of God. Can we please give a warm round of applause and stand to our feet and welcome the Bishop of South Africa, Calvin Phillips.
Thank you, Bishop.
Come on, what an amazing church you guys have. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Awesome. Man, I tell you, I had a bit of Bob Dylan there this morning. I thought you were going to go, it might be the devil. Oh, it might be the Lord. That was so good. What a song, huh? To end off with. We want to see Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done. I think God's doing something new in the church. And there's a touch of God in this house, and I just thank God for this amazing opportunity. And I'll share a little bit more in a moment. I didn't come to preach a message, because there is a spirit, an open heaven, to bring an impartation this morning. And so as we spend a few moments together, I believe that God wants to release the spirit of multiplication all over this house, all over your life, all over your relationships, all over your ideas, all over your dreams, all over your endeavors. God is about to release that anointing. And so, Bishop Nigel, I say that in Africa. He's a bishop, man. This guy's a bishop. I look at what you guys are doing around the world. Touch of God's on this house. And you think out of Fremantle, we're touching the globe, touching Africa, touching the Philippines. Amazing. And so we thank God for that. Thank you, Pastor Andrea, for this amazing time. God bless you. You may be seated. And just before I get to release, I'm going to ask Sharon to come and greet my wife of, I think, 30 years.
Oh, you remember now. 30 is an easy one to remember if it comes 27, 28. Okay. I'm so touched to be in the house this morning. I've been delivered before from a spirit of crying, but I think it came back on me this morning again. When I saw your beautiful missions photos, I remember how I used to watch missions before I ever knew I'd be a missionary. That I used to watch missions things and cry and cry and cry. But this morning I wanted to encourage you that no matter what you give out to God, you can never outgive him. He repays you. He's true to his word. We've had a miracle happen in our own personal finances, which beyond, and it's just an amazing thing. It's too long a story to go into, but God has blessed us, I believe, standing on that scripture, leave mother and father, house and home. And he'll bless us. And this morning I want to honor your leaders and the leaders, that pastors that stand with them, because we were told early in ministry, if the pastors don't have a heart for missions, your people won't have. And you're leading your people in such a beautiful way, meeting God's mission. And we can all do it with no fear, because he blesses us beyond and above we could ever sense loss. We get much more gain.
No, you're good. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody say multiplication. I was standing in your worship this morning and sensing the presence of God. And, you know, we could just do church around what happened just a few moments ago on the stage. The box was in the house. It's called the Ark of the Covenant. The presence, the manifested presence of God. God is omnipresent, and everybody around the globe can be safe under his omnipresence. But the church has the favor of his manifested presence.
That's when God himself shows up in a gathering where two or three are gathered together. There am I in the midst. You know, as we come together, I sense in the days to come, we're not going to rush worship. We're going to hang around some songs that are going to open up some doors and some pathways into blessing and into the presence of God that is going to cause our hearts to leap with joy. And somebody's about to leap into spring in this next season. As we go into that in the natural, God has got that set up in the spiritual. That God is about to multiply our lives. And I was reminded of about 4 weeks ago in our service, something must have happened because on the Tuesday, I got a call. And mostly the one cell number is a silent cell number. People can access other ways into my world. And so when I see this silent cell number, it's either the bank calling me for money and I don't want to answer it, or it's people in my leadership circle. Didn't recognize the number, but I took the call anyway. And on the other side of the line, so he'd done some things, and my PA told me later on, he'd called her, and she just knew that this call needed to come through to me. Didn't explain who he was. She heard the name, and his name was Yasin, full Muslim. And he said, I walked into your service on Sunday. This is on the Tuesday. And he said, something I experienced for the first time came all over me. I need to see you. I want to convert. And so I had meetings planned that night. I pushed the meetings aside. I asked Yasin to come and see me. Yasin came. He's a computer programmer for a big company. Also has a black belt and told me he had gotten into trouble with that. But the reason he came to church is because someone in our congregation invited him to a service. And the reason she invited him is because his heart was aching. He had been he'd been divorced for over 2 years, and he had a three-year-old girl that he wasn't really seeing. And his heart was really sore about that. And she said, why don't you just come to church? And he was in a special group. When he came there, he started to quote the Quran to me in Arabic, lines of it. And so he was being prepared to be a priest. That night, I got to lead Hasin to the Lord. And he has since impacted his mom. And I believe that before long, his entire family is coming to Jesus Christ. I tell you that story because I sense in the next season, entire families coming to the altar here. Imagine a mother, father, auntie, uncle, brothers, sisters, sisters-in-laws, and their children walking up to the altar and getting saved in Jesus' name. Come on. These are new days. These are new days, and God's opening up a new season and opening up a new heaven. Multiplication. And if someone can just leap with me into a faith realm and say 100 times more. And I'm not talking about the idea of more, or the prophecy of more, or the song of more, or the faith message of more. I believe that God is a God of multiplication. Multiplication is a powerful force, and that when multiplication comes, it has the ability to change your world in a matter of days or in a season. And so the Bible says that the very first word that God says to man, he says, be fruitful and multiply. He says to Abram, Abram, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you. Everything that God puts his hand to in seasons of multiplication is going to see incredible growth. And the focus, I want to put a number on it this morning, whether it's figuratively or literal, I want to release this idea into your spirit. I'm going to push on your spirit just for a little bit this morning. 100 times more. Can you see yourself? Can you see your life multiplying 100 times more? The presence, hear me, the presence of contradiction is a sign that you are in a spiritual season of multiplication. When contradiction is pressing in on your world, you are not losing your mind. You are not schizophrenic. You don't need a psychiatrist or a psychologist. What you need to understand is that God is positioning me into a season of multiplication. Because the way God multiplies is that He first subtracts. If you go right back into the first book of the Bible, you'll begin to see that He divides things there. He sets up 3 days of dividing so that He can multiply. He divides the earth. He brings the earth out of the water. He separates the skies. And on the next 3 days, He starts to fill everything He divided. He separates to multiply. He takes away a Moses so He can bring a Joshua. The reason Moses' season ended is because the system under Moses was a system of survival. It was a system of maintaining. It was a system that said, I'll bring the cloud. It'll be your shade. I'm just glad that when it's really hot in my life, in my ministry, in our relationships, He's a cloud that can shade. Someone happy about the shade? But the clothes don't wear out. The sandals don't wear out. The shoes don't wear out. They don't get sick. But God takes that system away, so that He can bring a Joshua where they're going to have to plant and multiply, where they're going to have to subdue and conquer. And God has got that anointing all over this house. The spirit of multiplication. If I look at what you're doing from this house and I see your global vision, I know that God has got not just the spirit of addition or adding, but He's got the spirit of multiplication on this house. God is multiplying you. And so when you come into that season, hear me, when you come into that season of contradiction, where you are content and disturbed at the same time. I don't know if you've been there. You're feeling settled, and yet at the same time, there's something churning on the inside of you. How is it that you can be scared and excited all in the same season? How is it that you can be thanking God and asking of God all up in the same prayer? You're thinking, oh God, You brought me through. Oh God, You say, thank You, God. You covered me on this situation. And all up in the same prayer, God, like Oliver Twist asking with your bow, Lord, I feel like there's something more to come. I feel like, God, we can go another level on this deal. I got a sense that there are some people in the season of contradiction that is causing you to understand, and that He's causing you to understand, this is the season of multiplication. I had the sense of God saying this to me a couple of days ago, that even in your stability, I'm asking you to stretch. While you're stable, I'm asking you to stretch to another place. And so multiplication, hear me, multiplication happens because God begins to take away some things in your world. Let me just put it like I want to say it. He's got to deliver you of some things in order to get you into a space of multiplication. Pastors, I tell them, you think that it's just going to be red roses and coffee. And then you're going to find there's some things that become contentious in your world. That's the season that God is getting ready to multiply. That your challenge is a sign that I'm not done with you. That I'm going to bring this business to the next level. That if he leaves you where you are, that you'll be hemmed in to a certain area. Like I was looking at some of the young people on the stage this morning. The next season of multiplication, I see some young preachers coming up in this church. Now, I'm very careful. I've done this thing for a long time now, 25 years. I don't just say things. But I'm telling you, I see some preachers shaking a generation. Then this generation, which we call the next generation, I see God raising up some incredible gifts in this house. I'm trying to hold back the prophetic so I can just say some things. But I hear the push of the spirit of multiplication. When you grab a mic, you do more than Bob Dylan on the stage. It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord. But I see gifts coming on this house to multiply this house in the name of Jesus. And so, in order for God to multiply you, he's got to deliver you. He's got to take you through a process of deliverance. Because our heart capacity and sometimes our mind capacity or our emotional capacity can't handle the fact that God can do 100 times more. He can do it 100 times more. I'm coming to scripture. We're going to end with it in a moment. But he's got to take you through that process. I don't know what it is. But I sense the Lord messing with my spirit the other day as this message began to birth in my spirit, is that the things that you fought for and have now entered and have become comfortable with are the very walls that's keeping your next level out. How is it when you come to the realization that what we have here is incredible and what we've built here is awesome? And but if we linger here, we start to become history. But if we can't be history, I can't look back at the good old days. What I need to do is begin to look forward to what God. I know there's new days ahead of us. I know there's new days ahead of us. Who am I talking to this morning that is beginning to feel the Spirit of God pressing in on your spirit, that's beginning to let you know, even though it was good over there in the last few seasons and you've measured yourself and there's been levels of growth, don't stay here. I'm about to bring a multiplication to you in the name of Jesus. So, in order for you to get from where you are to a place of multiplication, you have to leave here to go there. It's pretty simple. You can't straddle this one. This is not just a small shift. This is God moving you into another place of more. Abraham, leave your country. He's an idol worshiper. He was sending incense up to a cow when God met him and said to him, Abram, there's something I like about you. And the reason why Hebrews says that God chose Abram is because he would teach his children. And while he was sending incense up to a cow in his worship, God said, I want you to leave your country, leave your mother and father, leave where you're comfortable with, and I want you to press towards a place that I will show you. He was calling for an obedience, and after the obedience, he said, I'll show you. You don't get to see before you obey. You obey, and then you get to see. Abram, leave. I'll show you everything that I have for you. And that process is where, prophetically, Bishop, I sense this house is. You're in this deal of, look at what God is doing, and it's powerful. But I hear it. I've sat a couple of days with your pastor, and I hear every time he opens up his mouth, there's more that's coming out of him. He's speaking multiplication. And you say, oh, he's going to drive us. No. There's something that happens to a house. I'm about to bring this thing down and just release the word of the Lord over your business. Come, musician, just play the piano for me for a moment. But the spirit of multiplication is here. What is it about leaving here? Abraham, I want you to leave this place. No, I built walls of security here. I built walls of safety here. You want me to leave this? Because this kind of leaving is not just going next door to visit your mother-in-law. This kind of leaving is saying, God, I'm going to step up to the next level. That's why the contention. Being scared and excited at the same time is in your world. As I speak to business people, they live in this space of being content and yet disturbed. As I speak to senior ministers, what is it about God that says, I want you to leave your mother and your father and get joined to this good thing? It's not good that man should be alone. How can you put two empty heads together? No money in their pocket. Just dreams in their heart. And it's a lot more than companionship. It's about multiplication. Because I stand amazed every time I see it. And I remember our days. How he gave me this empty head. Put it with me. No, you're not an empty head. You're a good head. And all of a sudden, they build a life. I look at these couples, couldn't do anything by themselves. Buying houses together. Building businesses together. Building ministry together. He says, I want you to leave your mother and father. Leave where you are. Because I'm about to multiply you over and over and over again. That process, that journey of leaving is a journey of obedience. It's a journey of God, I'll obey you. And he says, if you leave, I'll show you. I'll show you the world that I have for you, Abraham. And you're going to end up being the father of many nations. That every family is going to be blessed in and through you. And as we read scripture this morning, I declare over this house that this is a space of 100 times more. Just let me push apostolically just for a few seconds. Before this next season is over, the contention, and the frustration. You think you're backsliding. You're not. This is God saying, I'm pushing into your world a spirit of multiplication. Exodus 18:25. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people. Rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. The capacity of multiplication is in leadership. Notice there's not a number less than 10. That the power of one can at least push 10. Or it can at least push 50. Or it can take 100. Or it can push into 1,000. That there is leadership, divine outpouring. I'm not talking about your ability to multiply. I'm talking about the force of God multiplying your world, that you can at least lead 10 people in a connect group. You can push. If you got 30 people employed, let's go for 50. God opening up a new cap to you, a new capability to you, a new ability to you. I'm going to release multiplication on you so you can begin to lead 100, then 1,000. It's all about numbers. No, God is a God of multiplication. And you can't go through the contention you've been going and stay at the same place. God is bringing this. Listen to Genesis 26, 1, 2, and 3. Then verses 12. There was a famine in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abram and Isaac. Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you." And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. You don't run away from your struggle. You stay in your famine. You stay in that dry place. If the brook's drying up, you feel isolated. You feel the resistance that's pushing against you and they ringing you up for money. Don't run away from the famine. The Lord appears to Isaac and he says, "You stay in this land." And the Bible says, and Isaac sowed in that land. And as he sowed in that land, God said, and in the same year, I'm going to bring 100-fold to you. I'm going to multiply it 100 times more. You planted just for a little bit more, Isaac. I'm going to bless your seed. And I'm going to give you 100 times more. I feel like I'm pressing on your spirit this morning, C3 Fremantle. And God just doesn't have more. He's got a whole lot more. And if I came all the way, and tonight I'll share. Thank you for bringing me. This was so divine. And I got to be with my dad. It's up in Fiona Stanley right now. And he's having a better day today, but the last few days were not so good. What is it about a church? Nothing in God's kingdom happens by coincidence. There's no coincidence. That a year out, Bishop asks me to come. It would be in the very week that my dad gets ill. And I got to pack in my bag, Bishop, coming. My wife asked me why she's glad I brought the big shirt, not the small shirt. But I packed my dad's shoes in that he bought me 15 years. Bishop, listen, I had my boots in there. And for some reason, I said, no, I'm going to take my dad's shoes. I've had this resold. My dad was a wood worker. Came to Australia many years ago. Doesn't get up in public. But he took me to a shoe shop one day. He said, "I want to buy you some shoes. Because blessed are the feet of those who bring good news around the world." And I thought about that. And I didn't know why. I packed my dad's shoes in my bag coming here. But your invitation of over a year ago to bring me and pay for my plane ticket to get to this house is a sign of what I'm saying today. That multiplication is knocking on the door. That if you will begin to release what you're releasing into the Philippines and into Africa, Liberia, dollars. And you can say, why are we doing it there? Why aren't we doing it here? The fact that you're doing it there, God is going to do it here. Come on. He's going to do it here. He's going to do it here. Just a couple more moments. Listen. Matthew 13, 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground, he who receives seed on the good ground, is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Listen, the word of God is the sword of multiplication. God gave you a verse when you started that business. God gave us verses for our ministry and our callings and our giftings. Don't you let the devil interfere. Don't become a slave to fear. Don't let the devil interfere with your word. Because on that word, he says, if you get the word and you understand the word, you'll begin to produce at least 30, at least 60. But I want you to get 100-fold. There are scriptures sitting in your spirit that are potent this morning, that are dangerous this morning. And if you take the word of God this morning, begin to open up your mouth and say, God, you said. And that's not manipulating God. That's not controlling God. The word declares that my word sown on good ground will produce 30-fold, will produce 60-fold, will produce 100-fold. Come on, church. This is not about cute sayings. It's not about somebody's book. This is about the word of God that is awesome and powerful. Last scripture, Matthew 10, 28 to 30. People reduce this to a missionary scripture. Oh, it's all for the missionaries. I want you to hear it. This is not a missionary scripture. This is a believer scripture. This is a believer scripture. Because this is the call to obedience. This is the very thing he called Abram to. His first engagement with Abram was to call him to a obedience of 100-fold. Leave it, Abram. Check out. Check out what I'll do. Check out what I'll do. Is he asking us to choose in between? No, he's just saying, can I be first? Put me first. I get it. Have a family day. But don't put your family day in front of God's day. I feel you. Listen. Then Peter began to say, it's after the rich man. The rich man came and Jesus said, the Bible says he loved him. He loved him. The rich man, Jesus says to him, go and sell all you have and give it to the poor. Of course. Think about it. This man was never going to be left with less than what he gave. The Bible says he couldn't go that level. The Bible says he put his head down and he walked away from Jesus. And Peter, you know, he's got no filter. He jumps right in on that story and says, and Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sisters or father or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Listen, of houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Oh, no time, but you can't press into 100-fold multiplication and think you're just going to walk into it. There's going to be a resistance to that. For every level of growth, that same level of resistance comes. But what Jesus focuses on, and I told our people a few weeks ago, this is the season for houses to be paid off, for lands to be to be gained. Come on. This is the season for you to reach out. You can believe it. We call it a bond. What do you call it here? The mortgage. You call it the mortgage. This is the season you can believe for 100 times more. Come on. I'm not talking about your ability to multiply. I'm talking about the divine ability to multiply your will 100 times more. If you can believe that C3 Fremantle, if you can believe that family, if you can believe that for your relationships, if you can believe that for your business, if you can believe that for your calling, if you can believe that for your ministry, God got 100 times more. 100 times more. 100 times more. Everyone standing. Go ahead.
Walk right through it. And my feet were drowned in perfect love.
100 times more.
Cause you rescued me so I could stand and say, yes, I
Multi.
Am a child. God.
Hey!
Ooh, yeah. 'Cause you split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears went drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and say, 'cause I am a child of God.
Hey! Hey! That line. I'm a slave. Can we go there? I know I'm going to break up your old music pattern here. That opening line.
Yeah.
Yeah, go. Just a bit, and then I'll give your dad the mic.
'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child of God.
Come on, let every fear break.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Hey, 100 times more.
I am a child.
I feel an anointing on that. One more time. Say, hey, I'm no longer.
Yes, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child.
God, my God, my God. We're going to build to a climax today. We're going to take a bit extra time. We're going to see heaven come down to earth. Wow. What an incredible message. Thank you, Pastor Calvin. Thank you, Calvin. Just take your seats, please. In case you're not aware, maybe you've been a bit late. I don't know, but there's a faith promise card. This is my wife's and I. I'm feeling like I'm going to have to put another one in because there's another meeting tonight and it's going to be round two. It's not going to be the same. So we're going to go to C3 Wellard and have part two of Leap Into Spring at 5:00. I really sense that there's going to be some great things happen and miracles happen in your lives, as I was explaining last week, as Calvin has said today. But let's look at our faith promise card. If you've got it, please place it in your hand if you've already done it. If you haven't and you need more time, that's fine. But hey, there's an opportunity because we're going to bring the offering, and as we do every year, and place it in the baskets here as a sign of our commitment, of a consistency to give to God. And I want to share a couple of things with you because this is so important. See, the faith promise card allows us to leave a footprint. I think we got the photo of that on the screen, if we could do that. You see, it allows us to make a mark on our world. Who's got it in their hand? Who's ready to leave their mark? We're going to leave a mark in our world. The faith promise card keeps you and I focused. It's saying, I am here to make a difference. It's a tool that helps us have an outward focused life. Many years ago, the great man of God, General William Booth of the Salvation Army, could not attend a meeting with his officers. And so in his absence, he sent a telegram. In that telegram was one word. As they gathered around and they opened, they found this word as I opened his telegram, and the one word was others. Everyone say that word with me, others. You see, the faith promise card allows for me to live my life focused on God's heart for others. And when we stand before Jesus, he's not going to ask what kind of car you drove. He's going to ask, what did you do for the helpless? He's not going to ask what kind of clothes you wore. He's going to ask, how did you help clothe others? He's not going to ask if you ate in fancy restaurants. He's going to ask if you fed the hungry. He's not going to ask if you got promoted at work. He's going to ask, who did you promote in your life? He's not going to ask, what kind of house did you live in? He's going to ask, did you love your neighbors? He's not going to ask how much money you made. He's going to ask how much money you gave. He's not going to ask how much you saved. He's going to ask how many you saved. Imagine being up in heaven and seeing people of all different races walking up to you because of our leap into spring. And they're in heaven, and you're in heaven with them, and they come up to you, and they take your hand, and they say, thank you for what you did for Liberia. Thank you for what you did in the Philippines. Thank you for what you did in China. I was a child soldier, and I heard the gospel because of your giving. I am now here in heaven. So God has left us here to make a difference. Whoever you are here today, young, solo mum, pensioner, uni student, entrepreneur, business person, retired, God has left you to make a difference. I've always said it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. Therefore, your $10 a week is just as important as a businessman's $10,000. All of us can give something and be part of something greater than ourselves. So if you still need time, please take a card and fill it in or bring it back in the weeks ahead. But we're going to bring an offering in about 5 minutes' time, but we're going to watch a video in a moment. But it's going to transform the atmosphere over your entire church, over our entire lives. And so I want to ask you a couple of questions before we come and give, and the kids are going to come into church as well in a moment. The first question is, what can I give? What can I give? You know, we've all, most of us that have family lives or we live, we have a budget. We know how much we can give. And so a faith promise card is for the is above our tithe. We need the tithe. Everyone say with me, we need the tithe. Why do we need the tithe? Because we've got to keep this house strong. If we can't keep the house strong, we can't do anything that we're doing right now. Keep the house strong. You see, whoever we are today, most people in our world, over half in fact, billions of people live on $2 a day. So turn to your neighbor and say, you're actually really rich. So what can you give? Second question. What can I give up? You know, I've said this every year. I just give up one coffee a day, and by the end of the year, that's like $1,200. It's a lot of money. Maybe you can give up your holiday this year and come on a missions trip with us instead. And Wes has done that for the last few years. What a champion. So good, Wes. You see, here's the question we have to ask ourselves. Am I a fan of Jesus or am I a follower of Jesus? You see, God's purpose rides upon the willing hearts of his people. So what could I give up? What can I give up? I thought about this too for Andrea and I, in my circumstance, and I have a mortgage. But if I pay a little bit off extra every month, that means that my entire mortgage payment in the 12th month can go to Leap Into Spring. You see, there's more that we can do. The Bible is clear that faith pleases God. And so the third question, what can I believe God for? What can I believe God for? Faith tells me that no matter what lies ahead, God is already there. God cares for us. He's not willing that we will suffer. A faith promises being a good steward of what God has put in your hand and then adding faith to it. So through good budgeting, you may be able to give a particular amount, then just add faith to it. What can I give? Let's go to that last slide. What can I give? What can I give up? What can I believe God for? You know, we have the blessing of the King. We have access to all that He possesses. And so opportunity is given for weekly, fortnightly, monthly, once off giving on this card. Don't underestimate the importance of this card, because it's the thing that will transform who you are. As you write down on this card, your miracles will start to happen. Let's pray this morning, and then we're going to watch a really important video of what we have achieved and what we desire to achieve. Father God, if you have your faith promise, pop it in your hand right now. Maybe lift your hands to heaven. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to be involved in the great mission of God. I thank you, Lord, that we are going to help others more so than we've ever done before as a church. And I thank you for the word this morning that everything that we do is going to multiply in the mighty name of Jesus. The people of God said, amen. So let's be bold today. So we're going to give in a moment. But before we do that, I think maybe it would be good. Why don't we just have the kids stand at the back? Are they there? Let's have the kids stand at the back, Richard. And then we're going to watch this video. Who's looking forward to seeing what we have achieved this year? And then what we want to achieve. So we're going to turn the lights off in a moment. The band's going to come and bring their offering so they can get back up on stage. Just stand there. That's great. Thanks, Judith.